The Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right paths for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely your goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever.
Then came the festival of dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was in the temple courts, walking in Solomon's colonnade. The Jews who were there were gathered around him, saying, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I did tell you, but you did not believe. The words I do in my Father's name testify about me, but you do not believe because you are not my sheep. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one."
Jane and I have just been away for a fortnight, just a little break in Spain. We've had glorious weather. We went to visit different churches out there. One tiny little fellowship with about eight people. And in fact, even the pastor was away, so they asked me if I'd take the service. So there's no rest for the wicked, is there? I know. And then we went to a big church, much more like Kingsland or St. John's or whatever. So it was all singing, all dancing, everything. We had a great time out there. So thank you very much for holding the fort while we were away. Jane's come back, and the first thing that happened, I think it's the plane flight actually, is that she got a throat infection. She's lost her voice. She's in bed. So I said, just, you know, take it easy and recover. So that's where she is this morning. Anyway, I'm delighted to be with you. Easter is a time to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. In the early church, the Christians had a saying, "We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song." In fact, St. Augustine said that 1,800 years ago. We are an Easter people, and Alleluia is our song. Are you coming to the front here? No, just slipping around to Peter. Okay, great. And so the Easter season runs from Easter Sunday right through to Ascension and Pentecost, 7 weeks of celebrating the resurrection. And I think we need to do that, actually. We need to remind ourselves that Jesus is alive today. A lot of people think that Jesus is just history, or perhaps even a sort of a rumor, a fable. We need to remind people that he's risen from the dead, he didn't die again. Jesus is alive today, for us today. And then, of course, when he left the disciples, when he went to heaven, they were given the mission of continuing his work. And so in Acts, for example, we hear about how the disciples continued doing what Jesus did. And I think that's our calling today, actually, to do as the disciples did in the Acts of the Apostles, to carry out the ministry of Jesus on earth. While I was away, I was reading a book by Michael Green, his last book, actually, before he died. Jane and I knew Michael Green at Oxford. We're great fans of him. And one of the things he says in this book is that we don't do enough practically as Jesus did. We tend to sort of get into Bible reading and scholarship and studying the scriptures and everything. We need to actually get out there and do what Jesus did, praying for people, healing them, even casting out demons and raising the dead. That's what the disciples did after Easter Sunday and after Jesus had risen from the dead. They put that faith into action, doing what Jesus did. So in our stories, in our Bible readings today, we heard, first of all, the Psalm 23, which we read together. Thank you for that, Peter. It was a great idea to do that. And then this story of John's Gospel that Gillian read to us. Imagine, if you will, winter time in Jerusalem. It's not as cold as it is here, but it is still, I'm sure, blowy and a bit damp and so on. And in the story, it's Hanukkah, the feast of Hanukkah, the dedication of the temple, and also what we know as the Festival of Lights. You remember the Jewish 7-branch candlestick or 9-branch candlestick. Hanukkah is the festival where they light the menorah, those candlesticks. And it's the equivalent of our Christmas, if you like. It's their midwinter festival. There's lots of candles and sweetmeats and warmth and cheer and so on. And in that festival, Jesus is walking in the temple in Solomon's colonnade. And Jesus, we remember, he thought of the temple as his father's house. You remember how at the age of 12, he got lost. His parents didn't know where he was. They found him in the temple. "Did you not know I would be in my father's house?" said Jesus. And so I'm sure he was happy there being in God's presence. But the Jews were watching him and they pursued him and accosted him. And they said, "We want more evidence of these claims that you're making, that you are the Messiah, the chosen one." They even wanted to debate with him about the scriptures, to have a sort of scholarly discussion. But Jesus, in our gospel reading, Jesus is having none of it. He basically says, "I've told you already of my claims, who I am. You've seen the miracles and the healings that provide the evidence that God is with me. Now," says Jesus, "it's time to choose. It's time to decide. You have to make your decision. Are you going to believe in me or are you going to reject me?" No more debates, no more discussions, no more putting it off. I can remember getting to that point myself, actually. It was a university mission when I was at university, and we had a speaker who presented the claims of Jesus, who read from the scriptures, told us what it meant, and said, "This Jesus is the Christ. He's worth following, worth putting your trust in him." And I remember being told that you have to decide. I was actually, I was taken out for tea, given the chocolate cake, and then told you're not getting any more until you decide. So it was bribery, really, and corruption. But I knew, actually, that was true. I had to come to a point of decision. Was I going to accept Jesus as my Lord and my Saviour, or was I going to say no and go the other way? Why are we Christians? What's the point of it? What's the aim of being a Christian? Why do we believe in Jesus? I think it's because of that relationship with Jesus, and through him, a relationship with God the Father. That's the key to it all. It's the big story of the Bible, actually, from beginning to end. In Genesis, we read about how God made human beings in the Garden of Eden, how he created us to be his friends, his children, to have a relationship with him. And then we read in the scriptures how people turned away from God and rebelled against him time after time, how judgment fell on the people of Israel, how problems arose for them. And we still see that today, don't we? When you read your paper, when you watch the news on television, it's very obvious, isn't it, that the world is broken, that people do evil things, that everything, although there are lovely good things that God has made, it goes wrong time and again, doesn't it? Our relationship with God is spoiled, like a teenager rebelling against their parents. We want a relationship with God. We need to be in relationship with God. And Jesus provides that for us. He is the way to God. He is the bridge between humans and the divine. He's the bridge between earth and heaven. And just as sheep need a shepherd, we need Jesus to show us the way. So we follow him. That's why we follow him. It's because he leads us to eternal life and to a relationship with God the Father. Some do follow him, and some don't, of course. There are many who've rejected him. It's a choice that we make, and we have to come to that point of decision, as people did in Jesus' day. And it's all about our relationship with Jesus, because if we know him, then we know God the Father. There are some lovely promises that he gives in this passage from John 10. My sheep listen to my voice. I know them, and they follow me. Of course, sheep was an everyday image for them in those days. There were loads of sheep out in the countryside. 200 times in the Bible, sheep are mentioned. It's less true for us, of course. We're not quite so close to sheep farming and agriculture and so on. But Jesus promised, I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. No one can snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. That image of Jesus caring for his people, just as a shepherd cares for the sheep. Imagine, if you will, a child in a shopping centre. And occasionally you let go of the hand, don't you? And the child runs away thinking, oh great, I can go and have fun. I can go and see what's going on out here in the shopping centre or perhaps down the street. And you, if you're a parent or if you're a carer, you would be worried, wouldn't you? You'd be anxious, perhaps even frightened. Who might snatch the child away? Or who might they run into? Or indeed, what might run into them? Maybe you've even had that experience. I did once. I remember it well. It's scarred on the brain. Your children run away and you think, oh my goodness, what's going to happen to them? Well, in those days, it was a bit like that with sheep. Sheep were out in the open countryside. They weren't enclosed with walls or fences or anything like that. And a thief might well snatch one away, or a lion or a bear might well attack a sheep and carry it off. They didn't just have foxes in those days. They had some pretty fierce wild animals. And Jesus has similar concerns for us, his followers. A bit like a child in a shopping centre, we tend to think we're safe, don't we? We tend to think, oh, it's a playground, it's light, it's bright, it's fun. But Jesus knows that there are dangers out there. How people fall away from him. How mammon lures us away, tempting us away. The thieves are waiting to take people away from Jesus. But if we'll only stay close to the shepherd and follow him, then we'll be safe. So I think the message for today is don't wander off, stay close to the shepherd. Build your relationship with him, because that's the key to eternal life. Just to finish very briefly, how do we do that? How do we stay close to him? Basically, briefly, spend time with him. If you think about staying physically healthy, you need good diet and good exercise, don't you? Good food and a good daily lifestyle. And to stay spiritually healthy, you need a similar balance. Good diet, well, that would be Bible reading, Bible teaching, prayer, and spiritual input, food for the soul. Good exercise is, well, worship, what we're doing today, and indeed serving others, praying for others, talking to them about Jesus. Spiritual output, if you like, exercise for the soul. And the Acts of the Apostles describes how they did both of those, how they studied the scriptures and enjoyed fellowship with one another and prayer, and then how they went out and spoke about Jesus and prayed for people and even raised the dead, producing fruit for God. So we need to find a way that works for us, to give us, if you like, a good diet of input for the soul and good exercise for the soul as well. Find what works for you. How do you put good things into your life? How do you feed your soul? What brings you closer to God and strengthens your spirit? And also, how do you give good things out? How do you exercise your soul? What's God calling you to do for him? How's God calling you to speak to others, to pray for others, to serve others? And always with Jesus at the heart of it. Don't wander off into weird fads focusing on, I don't know, saints and angels or Israel and Palestine or particular spiritual disciplines or something. It should always be focused on Jesus. We're Christians, we follow him. So let's just close with a prayer that we would always stay close to the great shepherd of the sheep. Father, we ask that you would strengthen our faith in Jesus and indeed through him in you. We ask that you would guide us to find good spiritual disciplines, practices, ways of living our lives so that we are always close to the shepherd. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
So this is a point of decision, really. For some of us today, we started off with singing In Christ Alone, Cornerstone. And are we going to follow Christ completely, utterly? Are we going to seek him out to build that relationship, to nurture that relationship? If that's you, then let's just pray together now and pray this prayer. Lord, I thank you that you love me and you care for me and you want the best for me. Forgive me for the times I sought other things rather than just you. Help us now, Lord. Help me now to find time to read your word. Find time to be with your people more regularly. Find time to do your work, to serve you in church and outside. Lord, help me, help us to just build and nourish that relationship. Help me to pray more. Father, just help me to remember you day by day. Meet with me, I pray. Come and help me, Lord. Amen.